It's Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome. We've got some things here. These are the top 5 things that we got done on our morning show. A special note before we get into it. Special note for you Dave and Darren patrons. We will have a patron-only show coming up later on this week.
That's true. If you're not a patron, you can just go to daveanddarren.com or nachoradio.com and become a patron. You'll have access to everything we've done.
More than 1,000 of these things.
Oh, my goodness. Over 6.5 years of them. And then, of course, you have access to the specialty programming podcasts as well.
6.5 years.
Well, isn't that right? Wouldn't it be 7? Yeah, it'd be 7 years in October.
Holy.
So.
Great googly moogly.
No, Yamahama, it's Fright Night. This particular podcast was brought to you by Nature's Treatment of Illinois. Tech Drive in Milan, West Main Street in Galesburg. Milan's open every day. Galesburg's open weekdays and Saturdays. The recreational waiting lists are available if you go to their website and reserve your time. That's how you do it. ntillinois.com.
Number one.
Weekend got away from a couple of folks, including Johnny Damon. Remember him from the Red Sox and the Yankees?
Yeah, they were the idiots, right?
Yeah, and it looks like he's still an idiot because he got arrested over the weekend for DUI.
Anyone who drinks and drives is a real jackass.
Johnny Damon, the ex-outfielder for the Red Sox and the Yankees, behind bars on Friday, got arrested for drinking and driving. It gets better. This happened in Florida.
Florida.
And his BAC higher than his batting average. His blood alcohol was between a 0.294 and a 0.30.
That's getting after it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's 3 times the legal limit. Johnny Damon pulled over in Windermere, Florida by the cops. When stopped, he was swerving apparently in the SUV. He was slurring and was unsteady. He admitted to having a few drinks earlier in the night.
By the pool.
Mm-hmm. His wife got out of the vehicle, despite the cops telling her she needed to stay inside. She was uncooperative, combative, and according to the report, she pushed a police officer. When an officer tried to handcuff her, Johnny Damon attempted to intervene, leading to a scuffle to cuff them both. Damon reportedly kept telling the officer, "I'm a good effing guy." And he said he would perform the sobriety test because he was a big boy. "I'm a big boy. I'm a big boy. I'll do the field test." Cuffed again while performing the last of 4 tests, both he and the wife were taken to the Orange County DUI testing center. He agreed to a breathalyzer against the advice of his wife,
who is not a lawyer,
and blew 2 samples. One was a 0.30 and the other was a 0.294.
Listen, I played for the Red Sox and the Yankees.
Johnny Damon steps up to the breathalyzer against the advice of his wife, and he's blown a 0.30. He's done it.
That's the sort of number that gets you in the Hall of Fame.
Good
there,
Lord.
Chip.
Yeah, for drunk driving. Well, he says, "I'm always accountable for my actions, and we'll see what happens soon." He also says that the jail sucked. When he came out of the jail, he said he didn't like being in jail.
Now, was he on the ballot for the Hall of Fame this year?
Johnny Damon?
Was this the first year that he would have been eligible? Do I have that right? Do I have that wrong? Because no one got in.
I mean, he was a 2-time All-Star, and he won the World Series with the Yankees and the Red Sox.
Just 2 times an All-Star, huh?
Yeah, he was only a 2-time All-Star.
Gotcha.
Played with the Royals, too.
Was that to begin with?
Yeah, I think he came up with the Royals and then went to the Red Sox. Watched a little bit of Game 3 of the 2005 ALCS.
What, to get you?
ALDS.
Just to get you ready?
Well, it was just Friday night, and I was just looking for stuff to do, and I had it on, yeah. I was playing D&D in the basement.
Yeah, I thought you had a big game night.
I did, so I had D&D in the basement on the computer, and then I had in the background.
How do you keep all that straight?
Well, you know, I like to do what we call a multitasking.
That's a lot of spinning plates there.
Well, you know.
Now, was game three, was that the one where El Duque came into?
El Duque comes in with the bases loaded.
To save the day?
Yeah, the bases are loaded. I remember because, was it Steve's old time tap?
I was going to say, you were at Steve's old time tap and, with your guy, Jack.
Yeah, we were just terrified because they brought El Duque in and the bases were loaded. And Hernandez gets out of that jam, and it's just as much fun to watch on DVD as it was live. Although live was nerve-wracking.
Of course it was. Yeah. It's always better live.
Yeah. Yeah, but I still get nervous when I watch those games, which doesn't make a lick of sense.
You shouldn't.
As disappointed as we are in Johnny Damon, who I think we can all agree, we did not expect that this kind of behavior from. Seems like a clean-cut, level-headed gent. Police in Oregon pulled over a driver of a hit-and-run. He crashed on Highway 26 on Friday afternoon. And this guy in Oregon found to have a blood alcohol level of 0.77.
What?
0.4 is death, right? If you have 0.4, you're supposed to be dead.
0.77. Those are Babe Ruth numbers.
Blood alcohol level of 0.77, which is more than 9 times the legal limit. There was a hit-and-run crash at 1 in the afternoon. Officers found the vehicle. They pulled over the driver, who they observed was highly intoxicated. You can't, when you're at a 0.77, you can't really bluff your way out of a,
no,
out of a DUI,
you're
right?
You're beyond bluffing at that point. And the field test doesn't matter.
So they pulled him over.
We're just going to pour you into the police car.
The driver then fled and led police on a short pursuit before crashing into a concrete barrier off the westbound lane about a half a mile from where the cops had pulled him over initially. Along with the extremely high alcohol level, he had a suspended license for a misdemeanor level DUI. Taken to the hospital for medical evaluation. Criminal charges, it says here, are pending. 0.77.
Yeah, I don't know if that's accurate. You might need to calibrate that thing again.
I don't know, man. So that would be your... if you were this guy's lawyer, that would be your...
That's not real.
Your Honor, this is cartoonish.
Come on.
You expect me to believe this guy was almost twice at the level of death? 0.8 would be dead twice.
Well, not only did he kill himself, he killed his twin. And he doesn't even have a twin, Your Honor.
It's like a Corsican Brothers situation.
Right.
He drinks and his twin brother gets drunk.
I saw something on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
It was like a notification on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And then I never could find it again. But and I was at first I thought, did this really happen? Is this, I mean, if it's a notification on my phone, it must be real. I saw where the Bears had traded for Deshaun Watson.
No.
I know.
Not
but
true.
I know it's not true, but this is what I saw. This is what the notification said. It said that the Bears had got Deshaun Watson, and do you want to hear what they gave up for it?
This is a dream you had or
not
an
a dream.
Text?
This is an actual, it was like a Twitter. It was a tweet by someone.
Okay.
So after I saw it, Then I couldn't find it again. It's like, well, wait a minute. This doesn't. Then I went to ESPN and I went to the Bears and everything. And it's like, well, this doesn't. They're not mentioning any of this.
Yeah.
But what they had done, the Bears had obtained Deshaun Watson, and they traded. They gave the Texans Mitchell Trubisky.
Uh-huh.
But they also gave up Roquan Smith.
Uh-huh.
Their number one pick for this year, a number one pick for next year, and a number two pick in the following year.
I would agree to that trade.
Well, that's why I looked at it. I thought, well, I wonder if okay.
Deshaun Watson is going to the Carolina Panthers.
Well, that could very well be.
Well, no, that's what's going to happen.
But this is what this notification said to me. I didn't dream it. It was on my phone. And
why are you getting notifications of stuff that's nonsense?
I don't know. I guess it's a new phone. It's a relatively new phone. Is that something they do now?
So it doesn't understand what not to tell you?
Right. It's giving me bogus information. Now, it's not that I'm looking up bogus information. It's giving me bogus information.
Yeah, you got it. There's some setting. You got some sort of setting on for nonsense on your phone. Because That's not going to work.
Can you show me where I can turn off nonsense?
Yeah, you gotta put in the nonsense filter.
Oh, okay.
Switch the nonsense button. You need to slide it over to
Well, the thing
off.
About it was is because that sounded like it was a bit of a believable trade.
Yeah.
And then I go looking around, and I see where the Bears have traded Mitchell Trubisky to the Chiefs for a fourth-round pick. And then it's like, well, wait a minute. Then I started looking around that. It's like, well, that didn't happen either. I can't trust any of this. I'm just going to turn this thing off and just use it just for phone calls, which I don't typically make.
Isn't Trubisky a free agent? Why would he be involved in a trade?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, they don't even own his rights. How are they trading him? That's an excellent point.
How are you trading somebody that's not?
Well, I guess you could franchise him and then trade him, but that's the big centerpiece to your trade. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, none of what this notification told you makes any
then
sense.
Then stop notifying me with this sort of stuff.
You have a nonsense update.
Oh, here's another nonsense update.
More nonsense. The Chicago Bears announced they're moving the franchise back to Decatur, Illinois. I'll have more nonsense for you later, Darren.
At nonsense.com.
Don't forget to download Angry Birds.
Number two.
There's a... looking here online, people talking about the roommate that you'll never forget.
Mm-hmm.
When you're out on your own and you have roommates, mm-hmm. you're starting off, every once in a while, you get a wild card who... It's sometimes just a choice where
sometimes
it's like, we need it.
I suppose if you think, no, I've never had one of those.
Then you're the roommate.
Then you're the roommate.
Uh-huh.
Where's the fish?
I had in two different places I lived, we had the one roommate that was the roommate that was there because we needed another person in the house. And, you know, things get weird in a hurry.
Yeah.
Because it's hard. When everyone in the house already has like an established bond,
uh-huh.
and you move in with those people,
yeah.
that's not easy for you.
That's not the sort of thing I would have been interested in doing.
No.
Yeah, I had one my freshman year at school. The guy, he was an odd cat. I don't think he showered a ton.
Yeah.
He really loved the Alan Parsons Project. There's nothing wrong with that. But one time, because I had all my albums and a turntable up there, one time I came back from class, he's listening to the Alan Parsons Project, that's not a problem, but he's laying in my bed with the under the covers.
No, man. That's You're a whole
under,
lot of no.
Under the covers in my bed? You have a bed.
We had a roommate who refused to shower.
Yeah.
But he would apply shower to shower, bath, what is it, like a spray?
No, it's
like
a powder. It's powder.
Shower, it's
talcum powder.
He would do shower to shower in place of showers. He would also sleep nude on top of his bed, on top of the sheets.
To air it out or what?
It was weird. Like, and his bedroom was right by the bathroom. So every morning, there would just be naked rando all powdered up.
So
it was weird. It was weird.
From head to toe. So it wasn't like he slept nude but had a sheet over him.
No.
It was just
No, he would
nude.
Sleep on top of the sheets naked, covered in shower to shower. And we were like, why don't you just take a shower? He's like, the showers here is gross. Which, I mean, it was. That, it was a bunch of dudes living in essentially a flop house.
Yeah.
But you make your
he
way
into
it.
He wasn't wrong
it.
About that, but
no.
still, water would help.
Right.
Soap and water is still going
to
help.
Shower to shower implies that that's to get you...
to the next shower.
Right. This was in lieu of showers is what this cat was doing.
And quite frankly, mm-hmm. I don't know that it's even that. Shower to shower is a bit of a misnomer.
Do they even make it anymore?
I'm sure they do, but typically... it's used in conjunction with a shower, really.
Right, you get out of the shower and you put on the shower to shower to get you... Okay, yeah, right.
I mean, it's not really to get you to the next shower.
It is a misnomer. You're right. Here's a couple of people remembering the roommates that they'll never forget. This says, there was one roommate. His method for cooking steak was 1, put it in a broiler. 2, wait for the smoke alarm.
And then you know it's done, huh?
3, flip the steak.
And wait.
4, remove the leather from the broiler.
Yeah.
And then 5, extinguish the smoldering parts with lots of ketchup.
Huh. He likes it well done, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. We had one roommate that would always make hamburger helper and would overcook it to the point where it would just you couldn't get it off the pan.
Right.
So then it was your turn to do the dishes. Like, he would just give up because he was like, okay, you know, there's nothing you can do. And then the dishes would just pile up because he was like,
oh, you overcooked this to the point where it's not enough for it doesn't serve anyone.
Uh-huh.
Typically, you could maybe, you know, serve, you know, three people, 2 or 3 people. This serves no one. This is just a dried on mess.
Here's another one. My first college roommate was an engineering major. During our first semester, he dropped physics because he was failing it. He tried to drop calc because he was failing that too, but that would have put him under the threshold for housing, so he just stopped going to class. I think the only class he kept going to and passed was a drafting class. Needless to say, he was gone the next semester. He came back to visit friends one weekend, broke into my room while I was at a track meet, poured instant soup into my pillowcase, and took a dump in my boots.
What?
Not long after that, I heard he was in jail.
I'm not sure you really want to be an engineer.
Doesn't sound
like you know
like
what it entails? Do you know what an engineer is?
As this roommate I'll never forget lived on vodka, spam, cottage cheese, and day-old bread. He was bagging groceries at 35. No car in a town without public transportation. He'd be in his 70s now. the roommate I'll never forget. I ran out a couple rooms in my house as well as the basement. Obviously, I lived there too. My last roommate would leave her clothes in the dryer, not even dry, for days, letting them become musty. She was practically, if not factually, addicted to weed. My house reeked, her clothes reeked, and she didn't shower regularly.
So she was so high she forgot to ever turn the dryer on?
She called me a Nazi when I told her she needed to stop smoking weed in the house. The lease specifically prohibited smoking in the house. She regularly insulted me under her breath. I had to buy security cameras to keep her from claiming I did something I wouldn't. Fortunately, I didn't have to evict her. She quit the lease and I let her leave.
Yeah, just the whole idea of living with someone you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an odd concept.
Well, it's out of necessity more often
than
not.
No, I understand it's out of necessity.
Right.
I get that. But I don't want to be that needy.
Susie Spacecraft. She was my college roommate and partied every night. I'm not even sure she was in college. She was lampshade on the head, take off your pants crazy. She started bringing over the local news sportscaster guy who was married to someone else at the time. First time I saw him in the house, I was like, isn't that Brian from TV? And after that, when he was there, I just called him Sport. How's it going, Sport? She was a nice person otherwise. But she did take her Honda Civic joyriding while tripping on acid and farmed some abandoned field with it. The next day, when she saw it was all muddy, she thought she had done it while wasted. She says, sometimes I wonder what happened to Susie Spacecraft. Brian was a local sports guy for some time after. And then there's...
I've heard worse.
Well, this is... this is the worst. guy has a roommate, wakes him up in the middle of the night. And he says, he wakes him up in the middle of the night and hands him a note and does the shh thing with his fingers, right? Saying, there's a spider in my ear. Don't say anything or he'll kill me.
What?
I need you to take the spider out of my ear, but don't say anything about it because if he hears you, he will kill me. And I told him, there isn't a spider in your ear.
And that's not true.
And he said, oh, you were right, bro. Thanks. Middle of the night, you get handed a letter from your roommate that says there's a spider in my ear.
That understands English?
Roommate wakes me up at 2 a.m. and hands me a note and shushes me with his finger. Note reads, spider is in my ear. He can hear you. Don't say this out loud or he says he will kill me. I need help. I said, you do need help. Go back to sleep. The spider in your ear is not going to kill you. He panicked, literally braced himself, and then he whispered, you were right, bro. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. You need help.
Oh, my gosh.
Not the kind I can provide.
One last one here. It says, I was in college in a small Midwestern town in the 70s. Dorm roommate was Mitch, big farm kid, real nice guy. He was majoring in agricultural engineering, which is basically civil engineering with more focus on dirt. We had a mini fridge, and the one cooking utensil that I brought was a toaster oven. The toaster oven got a lot of use. This was before colleges started cracking down on cooking in dorms. Just about everybody had some cooking appliance in their dorm, or any given night you could pick up a half dozen cooking smells wafting down the hall mixed with the smoke of cigarettes and weed. One guy had a small deep fryer in his room.
That's right, the fry daddy.
It's amazing nobody started a fire, but circuit breakers did trip a few times. I come back to my room one evening and walked in, and it was, what's that smell? Mitch had been hunting earlier that day and was roasting a squirrel in the toaster oven. But he hadn't done the best
with the fur.
Hadn't done the best job of cleaning off the fur before cooking. The smell of singed fur was everywhere. But he was generous and shared. I'd eaten lots of game before, but this was the first time I tried roasted squirrel, and frankly, it wasn't bad.
Except for the fact that it tasted like a mink coat.
Sometime later, Mitch bought a Wada Pizzeria, an electric pizza cooker that was so anemic it would take 30 minutes to cook a frozen pizza. But it got a lot of use anyway. Oh, that's what is that smell? Oh, I got a squirrel in the toaster oven.
That's a fur coat, is what that is.
Number three.
Innovation meets luxury. You're living in the world of tomorrow today with these exciting new products, Darren.
An accoutrement.
Accoutrement? Listen, I don't want any BS. That starts with me. Can we get these flies out of the studio, please?
Can you do me a solid?
A and kindness. I want you to do me a kindness.
Can you do me a kindness? And that starts with me.
Oh, Winnebago man, all is forgiven. I don't know if you saw this, but a couple from LeClaire was on Shark Tank over the weekend.
Were they?
Yeah, Friday night on Shark Tank. A couple from LeClaire, they've invented a one-piece bathing suit.
Huh, I thought we had that.
Elise Billany had this idea for a swimsuit that feature buttons up the sides so you can take them off easier. Company is called Beute.
Or someone else can take it off easier.
Rawr, 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 with my teeth. What do you think of that? Ha-cha-cha. She says, the idea came to me when I was struggling to pull up my one piece for the 100th time in a dirty beach bathroom in Jamaica.
What?
I love the look of one piece swimsuits, but I thought there's got to be a better way. And she started designing this swimsuit, focusing on easy removability while keeping the pleasing aesthetic of a one piece swimsuit. So, yeah, they went on the Shark Tank, this couple from LeClaire.
We prefer the roughest beaches in Jamaica.
We like to go to places they tell us in the guides we shouldn't go. Look, I'm from LeClaire. You think I'm afraid of You think I'm afraid of something a couple blocks away from Electric Avenue? Stop yourself. So, yeah, they went on the Shark Tank show on Friday. That's exciting for them.
Yeah, they get a shark.
I be honest, I didn't watch the episode. Hmm. Did they get somebody to buy it? If anyone watched it, let us know on the text lines, 470-23-NACHO. It looks like a great idea. You know, if you want to just get your One Piece off in a hurry. Why not? Also on the Shark Tank, somebody had a pair of bed sheets that you don't have to wash. And
allegedly.
And also self-cleaning underpants.
Allegedly.
Self-cleaning underpants. That was what the folks from LeClaire were going up against.
That's tough competition. Stiff.
This is a group out of Minnesota. The Herculean is what that one is called. And their whole business model is making things that you don't need to wash, including self-cleaning underpants. You can wear the underwear for days and weeks without washing them.
Mm-hmm.
They say here, we believe the future of clothing is laundry-free, and we're excited to lead the human race towards this cleaner, more eco-friendly, and less time-wasting way of life.
You can even return them to the store if they don't fit.
They sell shirts, socks, and a hat that you can wear over and over again, and it'll still smell great. And there are bed sheets and pillowcases that you don't have to wash. How would that even work? How do you have self-cleaning underpants?
Well, you just keep telling yourself that you do, I guess.
The underwear is made from fabric they call Herc fiber, which they claim is fabric that fights off bacteria. So I don't know if I want something that's fighting off bacteria on my on my man business.
Like a placebo, frankly, of some sort. If you think you don't have to change your underpants, you don't.
Yeah, but you do.
You
Elfie.
Do. Yeah, you do.
They say that this underwear will fight bacteria. It stays cool. It stays dry, soft, ultra durable, and it blocks the sun's ultraviolet waves. That doesn't make any sense.
That's the only part of my body that's protected from the UV rays.
That's not really a concern, is it? Ultraviolet light on your underpants parts?
No, your butt is the last thing to grow old. Isn't that? That's just the way it works. The rest of you grows old before your butt.
I've been told I have the ass of a 32-year-old.
Well, there you go.
Meanwhile, Panasonic is very excited to announce that they've made a farting cat robot. This is something that is on the market now. It's a little robot cat that's called Nikobo, created by Panasonic for companionship. And it farts. It can also wiggle its head, wiggle its tail, and blink its digital eyes.
It even knows to wait until your mouth is open.
This farting robot cat will set you back $360. And you have to pay $10 a month to get software updates. What?
Wait, do you have to refill it with liquid ass from time to time?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
When it runs out?
Oh, no. Why would you pay $10 a month for a cat subscription? Get this robot. It just looks like a big... It doesn't look like a cat at all. It looks like a pet rock with eyes. But they say, it's... They're making a couple of hundred of these.
It looks like one of those landscaping rock speakers.
It's exactly what it looks like.
I thought that was more of a dog thing. Are cats farty?
It's not been my experience that they are. I mean, of course they are.
I'm
mammals.
Sure they are, but...
Yeah, you can't really...
Not to the level of a dog.
No, you can't blame anything on the cat that I'm aware of. It's not... I mean, I've tried, believe me, but I don't think it works. I don't see why you would spend hundreds of dollars on a cat and then...
And then throw in that feature.
And then pay $10 a month for updates. That doesn't make a lick of sense.
It makes about as much sense as underpants that you never have to change. I think they're feeding you a story.
I'm going to say that of the three innovations that I've just shared with you, the one piece that you can take off, that's the winner.
I wonder if they've got that for trunks for guys.
Kendra Scott was a guest, and she got the Beaut deal.
The what deal?
The Beaut deal. The couple from LeClaire. They ended up getting one of the sharks, but it was a guest shark.
Oh, a guest shark.
Kendra Scott.
Hmm.
And fans of the show are unhappy.
She took him on, huh?
That Kendra Scott got the Beaut deal, I'm reading here. Shark Tank fans were happy to see the Beaut couple from LeClaire get the investment.
Yeah.
But were sad to see that it came from Kendra Scott.
Why?
I don't know. Who is Kendra Scott? Why would people, do people not care for her? Because they always have these guest entrepreneurs too. You got your Mark Cuban, you got your Barbara Corcoran, you got your Kevin O'Leary, but then they'll always
from time to
have
time
like a guest one.
Sometimes it's A-Rod.
They'll bring a new guest shark on for every season. Like A-Rod was one for a while, right? Kendra Scott is a jewelry designer who is the guest shark for season 12. And it says here on a forum for people who enjoy Shark Tank, fans not happy with her performance on the show and demanding that she get replaced with another guest shark. The founders of the Beaut company, those are, again, that's Elise and Nathan Billany from LeClaire, they wanted $50,000 for a 30% stake in the company, which makes these swimsuits with buttons. And Nathan and Elise began discussing how they came up with the idea and their inspiration. That's when Kendra immediately jumped in and began talking about herself and her jewelry business. Hey, this isn't about you. It's what people are saying. Well, they got the deal, so that's good. They came in looking for $50,000 for a 30% stake in their company. Kendra felt that taking 30% from them was too much, so she tweaked the offer, lending them the $50,000 for 10% at interest and a 5% stake in the company. So she got they got a good deal.
You get a good deal.
Right.
This week's special guest, Shark the Pope. Pope Francis is this week's guest shark.
That would be interesting.
It would be.
Take
it. And if he had the hat that kind of looked like the Jaws poster. He's like, I couldn't wait to wear this.
Wait, he's on as a guest shark. He's not on pitching Pope hats that look like Jaws.
No, he's
But I'd watch that one too.
That's not bad either.
Right? How do you get people to take you seriously? I'll tell you how. You show up with a great white shark on your head. Sometimes I'm up there doing my homily and I don't feel like I'm connecting. That's why I had this custom-made shark Pope hat.
How do you get 100 million people to take you seriously? Or whatever the number is.
It's 1.1 billion. Catholics.
Okay, 1.1 billion, even better.
Yeah, hey, ever since I started wearing this shark Pope hat, people listen to my every word. They hang on my every word.
I was only off by 1 bazillion. Number
four. Stop me if you've heard this one before.
Mm-hmm.
Massachusetts woman who lost her engagement ring, a family heirloom that was in her fiancé's family for 40 years, got some help searching for it in the snow from a professional metal detectorist.
Enough with the professional.
Her fiancé are breathing a sigh of relief after a priceless family heirloom was recovered from the snow.
And they owe it all to a man who works to help people find their lost items.
A hero, if you ask me.
Talk about setting up a golden parachute for you.
What do you mean?
This is the next act.
You're darn right it is.
Western Mass News reporter Lexi Oliver has the incredible details.
We found it, Jason! Woo! Woo! Oh my God! Oh my God!
A moment of pure relief and excitement as Sarah Fitzgerald was reunited with her engagement ring in Agawam.
I truly started to feel like I was never going to see that ring again.
Fitzgerald tells Western Mass News she dropped her ring in the snow when getting out of the car at a friend's house on the day of the big game.
I had taken the ring off in the car to put some lotion on my hands, and I never put the ring back on.
After almost an hour, Fitzgerald realized her ring was missing. She and her friends were down on their hands and knees searching, but with no luck.
I was not feeling good, to say the least.
Panic swept over her as the ring that had been in her fiancé's family for nearly 40 years was nowhere to be found.
I had it customized and she loved it. It was really special to us.
Fitzgerald's fiancé, Greg Stratner, says he wouldn't rest until the ring was found.
She was obviously very distressed, and I was not willing to even put it out into the universe that the ring was gone, so I started looking on Google.
That's when he came across Keith Willey, a professional metal detectorist who specializes in finding lost items.
When I was a kid, there were some silver coins that were lost behind the wall in a basement of a house. And the people who owned the house were trying to find them for the longest time. I decided to take things into my own hands, and I eventually found the coins. It gave a whole new meaning of treasure hunting for me.
Willie started Rediscover Lost, a business that helps people find lost items or locate historic artifacts on their property. He tells Western Mass News he's been metal detecting for about 15 years.
Awesome. This is what I've got to do. I'm opening up my own business.
Now, does he help find things that aren't made of metal?
Like what?
Dogs and cats. And
no. With a metal detector isn't going to help you find a dog.
I understand, but
unless
he always
the dog is made out of metal.
He always has to use the metal detector.
Well, yes.
Seems like a bit of a crutch to me.
He's a professional metal detectorist.
He says he is. What did he charge? I like the fact that, or I respect the fact, I guess, that the news station and the reporter still don't have a desire to be sued using Super Bowl.
Yeah, they said the big game. Uh-huh. That's right.
He made the hour and a half trek from Groton, Connecticut to Agawam, and the snow that hit Western Mass that Tuesday didn't help.
I would say it was more stressful because when you add snow to the equation, it's very easy to move it. Like, oh, it accidentally got moved in that shovel full.
But after about an hour and a half,
we were just so excited and happy, and we said it felt like we got engaged all over again.
Fitzgerald and Stratner say they are extremely grateful for Willie's help.
We just want to spread the word, because if someone out there has lost something important to them, there is someone who might be able to help you.
For a fee.
For
if the price is right. I'm not coming from Connecticut just to help you two out. There's going to be,
this would be
an
my,
invoice.
This would be my advice to any young bride.
Yeah.
Or any bride of any kind.
Yeah, sure.
Don't accept an heirloom. Get your own ring.
But it's because special.
But then you don't have grandma and great grandma staring you down. It's your ring. It's your ring that you lost, the family's heirloom.
You think that would go over well with the family if you said, I'm not taking something that's been in your family?
I don't want to lose it. I know me. No, that's too much pressure. I don't want an heirloom. I want my own ring, brand new, just made today.
If you please.
I'm not saying you got to spend a ton of money on it, but it's going to be new.
Meanwhile, over the weekend, employees at a recycling center in England came to the rescue when a man accidentally dropped his wedding ring into a sorting container. James Ross is 38 years old. He was dropping off some cardboard to be recycled when the wedding ring fell off his finger and vanished into the depths of the recycling container. He alerted a nearby employee, who informed officials of the incident. They shut down the machinery, and four workers climbed inside to look for this guy's wedding ring. And this is the line that is used in every single one of these stories that I give you. According to one of the people there, the plant operator, Jordan Cooper, quote, "It was like looking for a needle in a haystack." It's always like looking for a needle in a haystack for these people.
I thought the line was going to be, my wife is going to beat my brains in.
Well, I mean, it's not like he lost the ring doing something reckless. He was recycling. He was overwhelmed with relief, he says, when they got the ring back. He says the ring was caked in grime, but it was amazing to have it back.
What's the latest in male wedding ring fashion?
Male wedding ring fashion?
Yeah, I mean, if they moved on to the point where it's like you wouldn't have to worry about losing something. It's this is made out of rubber.
That is a thing.
They got rubber ones?
Yeah, no, they
like
they
a hard
do,
rubber?
It's like a silicone.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've seen dudes that have that.
Yeah.
And okay. I think that's pretty boss.
Reasonably priced.
But they're not, I mean, they're still a couple hundred bucks.
Yeah.
If you want like a, I think they call it the cowboy wedding ring.
Cowboy.
Yeah. Yeah, or they have something called the manly bands.
So that if you lost it, it's not going to be the end of the world. Is that the idea?
I mean, I'm guessing. I mean, these, here's the different models. The cowboy, the baller, the gentleman.
Wait, these don't sound like, these sound like different types of rings.
No, these are rings for your finger, Darren.
Okay.
I can assure you.
Okay.
The instigator.
Really, the cowboy, the baller, the rock star, the gentleman.
The whiz.
The instigator.
That's a tungsten ring. The instigator.
I don't think so.
Yeah, yeah.
What kind of site are you looking at?
Be the instigator. It says, you never just borrow the car to study for a science test. What? You always had a stealthy plan up your sleeve. Sneaky, we call it resourceful, and that'll get you anywhere in life. For the instigator
kind of
ring.
What website is this?
This is a men's wedding ring.
The gentleman? What else have you got?
The hero, the Zeppelin.
The hero, the Zeppelin.
The elk, the DJ, the overlord. Yeah, that's what I want. Give me the overlord. Now we're talking. The buffalo, the King Arthur. These are tungsten rings. The officer, the storyteller. The ruler, the novelist, the lumberjack. Yeah, these are boss.
There you go.
This was not an option when I got married 20 years ago. These are cool. Yeah.
I want one of each.
The silicone ones are good for people that have like allergies, I think.
I suppose.
And if you're somebody too that gets your hands dirty, the silicone ring is supposed
cleans
to be
up real nice, yeah, or whatever.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about it getting scratched or dinged up or any of that stuff. If you're an active man that needs a ring forgiving enough to keep up your manly side, you have no problem getting your hands dirty, and you need a ring that can withstand your adventurous and industrious side.
You might enjoy the Centurion.
I don't know, man. I think these are pretty cool. You can get a silicone wedding ring for $30.
There you go.
That's the way to do it. If you lose a silicone wedding ring, you're out $30.
You don't even have to let anyone know.
I will say this, though, as a future metal detectorist, I cannot help you find your silicone ring.
You would frown on this sort of thing.
Well, it's not good for a bit my business, is it?
No, it's certainly not. What are you trying to do, put me out of business before I even get started?
I didn't buy a silicone detector. That doesn't even exist.
I've got a silicone detector. Bleep, 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 bleep.
Let me guess. Did you lose the instigator?
Punky.
Why is George Gaines involved? Oh, Punky, you lost the ring. Punky. My goodness. They were so distracted by your mammoth breasts. Punky.
Here are my two silicone detectors.
Five.
Number five. Earlier in the show, we were talking about crazy roommates. How about crazy people that just live, I mean, crazy neighbors, people that are living adjacent to you that are out of their minds? Now, there's a story from Amsterdam where a guy got kicked out of his apartment because he was constantly howling like a wolf. That would be a bit much to take. If your neighbor was just constantly making wolfman noises.
Had something happened? Had he stubbed his toe or stepped on a thorn?
Ordered by a judge to move out of his apartment due to multiple noise complaints from his neighbors. Some of the neighbors couldn't wait for the court order and moved out before this guy was ordered out.
I'm not waiting on this court order.
Accused of making loud, frightening cries that sounded like a howling wolf. He admitted that it was true that he did howl like a wolf. During the hearing, it was revealed that this guy suffered from vocal tics caused by a psychological disorder. He underwent treatment at a psychiatric facility and started to take medication. These are the pills I gotta take so I don't make wolfman noises. For a while, it seemed as if the situation had calmed down, but then he started up again. And
then there was a full moon.
Neighbors reported noise complaints to the cops 13 times within 3 days. April of last year, they installed soundproof walls on this guy's apartment. It did nothing to alleviate the situation.
We're going
to
soundproof him?
In October of last year, the housing corporation that owned the apartments asked this guy to move out. But that wasn't possible because of the pandemic. And he said, no, I want to keep living here. And also, this isn't the best time to go and find a new place.
Can we soundproof you? Sure.
Well, they tried, and it didn't soundproof. Multiple residents sold their apartments and moved out of the building in the meantime. Well, that's nice.
During the pandemic.
Don't tell people why you have to move.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to love it. It's right here in the heart of Amsterdam.
No. Go ahead. It's...
And you're just praying to God the whole time you're showing the apartment that Wolfman doesn't start his nonsense. So yeah, he's been ordered now to vacate the premises by a judge. Constantly howling like a wolf. It calmed down for a while, and then something happened. He snapped again. Mm-hmm. And started making wolf noises. Howling like a wolf. I take these pills so I don't make wolf noises. But sometimes the pills don't take.
I gotta stop watching these David Naughton movies.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That's Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things. Thanks for downloading it, listening to it, leaving a review, all that you've done. It's very much appreciated.
It was brought to you by Nature's Treatment of Illinois. They have a location, Tech Drive in Milan, West Main Street in Galesburg. And they also offer a wide selection of products for recreational use, including flower, vapes, edibles, and more. Sign up for the newsletter and connect with Nature's Treatment on Twitter and also Instagram.
Till we get a chance to do it for you again, hang loose, kooks.
You stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Hi, this is Art Linkletter. Thanks for listening.